Hi, and welcome to Living Word Northwest's podcast. We are so glad that you're here. Our goal at Living Word is to reach people, touch lives, and make a difference. Our hope is that this week's message encourages you and those listening with you. Remember, God wants to connect with you on a personal level, and we don't think it's an accident that you're here. If you or someone like you needs help along that journey, we are here for you. Stay tuned after this message on how to connect with us, but for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's sermon.
We are starting a new series, and I'm excited about it. I am really excited about it. It's called Retreat. If you were in that cabin, you'd be cheering right now. It's called Retreat. Listen to the definitions. There's two of them here. We're going to kind of put them together. An act of moving back or withdrawing. A quiet or secluded place in which one can rest and relax. Now, since the 1800s, this word retreat has been used less and less and less in English literature. How's that working out for our society today, church? Retreat. The modern age, the digital revolution, right, that we're all amidst right now, has completely destroyed the idea of actually taking a step back and rejuvenating and pausing. Come on, anybody that has a job says amen, right? Amen. And so, I'm just going to ask you to watch out, because if you decide to practice what we're preaching this month, you may get told, or you may even feel like you're giving up. You may get told, or you may feel like you're being weak. In fact, if you practice what we preach this month, which that's our plan, is to practice what we preach, you may even not get everything checked off of the checklist. All the ones just had a hot flash. But here's the deal. You might find that you've got a greater capacity to handle stress. You might find that you have more clarity to make the decisions that need to be made. You might find a deeper intimacy with God, maybe even a deeper intimacy with your spouse, your kids, your family. You may find that you have more patience to persevere. You may even find that there is a lightness to your soul. And in the month of October, this specific year, I feel like these things are going to be very important and very necessary as we roll into November. Can I get an amen? Amen. You see, God showed us what everybody else is doing right now is pressing forward, press forward, press forward. What everybody else is doing is engaging, 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 engaging. And what I am feeling and what we are feeling is, what if we did something different? What if instead of running forward, we took a step back and retreated? I hear you all, Word of Faith people out there, like, excuse me. Just bear with me for a little bit, all right? Judges 20. Judges 20 speaks of a situation so many of us find ourselves in. And I'm going to kind of break this apart, starting in Judges 29. This is talking about the Israelites here. And they say, this is what we will do to Gibeah, which I'm pronouncing wrong. We will draw lots to decide who will attack it. So pause here. In verse 9, Israel is planning their attack, because we all know Israel was like just attacking everybody all the time, right? They planning their attack against Gibeah. And what happened was Israel was wronged, and they wanted revenge. They wanted to make someone pay. They wanted to take matters into their own hands. And why not? Judges 20:17. Israel had 400,000 experienced soldiers, right? They were armed with swords. They're saying to themselves, we've got the weapons, we've got the experience, we can win this battle. And as we all know, pride comes before Judges 20:21. But Benjamin's warriors who were defending the town came out and killed 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. So despite their best efforts, Israel lost the battle. In verse 22, they give it another try. We could try it one more time because we're Israel and we never learn our lesson. In verse 25, they lose another battle. But then something changes. Something causes a turn of the tide. And I love when the tide turns. Something causes Israel to defeat Benjamin and Gibeah, their enemy, in Judges 20:36. Here we go. Then the men of Benjamin saw that they were beaten. How? The Israelites had what?
Retreated.
The Israelites had retreated from Benjamin's warriors in order to give those hiding in ambush more room to maneuver against God. So part of the strategy to win the battle was for the Israelites to retreat. And then the enemy armies started following them. How many of you have tried to get away on a little retreat, and then all of a sudden everything goes south, right? You got the vacation planned, you got the tickets booked, right? And then something blows up. I hate when that happens. But the plan was for them to retreat, the enemies follow them, and then the other half of the Israeli army goes in and just destroys the town. And that's exactly what happened, because God told them, retreat. How many times have we tried to defeat an enemy on our own? Anybody?
Yeah.
For real, right? You go out to battle, you put on your armor of God, right? And then you fight hard, and then you lose, and then you try over and over to overcome, when all along God had this plan in waiting. Heidi and I, for a while now, have been trying to fix up our house. So our house is at that like 20-year mark where like everything just decides to quit and stop working. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's like the dishwasher is putting more water outside of the dishwasher than it is inside the dishwasher. There's like this weird rust spot that is like growing on our fridge. I don't know what it's from. It's just growing. It's disgusting. It's extra minerals for those drinking water from our house. Like it's weird. Major appliances, you know, the air conditioner stops working for the 100th time. You know what I mean? It's just, stuff just stops working. And so we're like, okay, how can we have the funds that we need to fix, right, this like everything that needs fixing? And then on top of that, we're going, how can we invest more for retirement? And then on top of that, we're like, how can we put a little space in our budget to have a little extra, you know, so that things aren't so tight? Anybody had to make decisions like that or face that? How do we beat this enemy of lack that's trying to attack us? And so we try and figure it out. And like, well, maybe we could save here. And maybe we could do this. And maybe if we just stop doing this. And what $10 subscription can we get rid of to add to our this? And how do we, right? And we're trying to figure it out. And nothing keeps working. And nothing's working. And finally, we give up. And we're like, okay, God, like, whatever. Whatever you want to do, God, we're just going to let you do this. And we kind of retreat from trying to figure out the issue. And then interest rates plummet. We haven't been in our home terribly long, but we have an opportunity to refi. And by doing that, not only are we paying less every month, right, on our mortgage, but it's enough for us to put some extra in retirement. It's enough so that we can fix all these things that we need to fix in our house. It's enough that we have more space in our monthly payment, right? It's like all of a sudden, everything that was once impossible for us to accomplish financially was possible. Now, that's not like some sort of testimony, right? Maybe some of you got issues with refining. I don't know. I'm just saying that when we stopped trying to figure everything out, God was able to attack that enemy of lack. Your interest rate will drop, church. The interest rate of life. Something miraculous will happen when we stop trying to fight and we let God put into action the plan that he's had in waiting for us all along. And isn't it so much better when you finally say, I give up, God, whatever you want. And then he does something, and you're like, I don't know how it happened. God just did it. And he gets the glory. I love that. You never know when your interest rate of life is going to drop. 2 Chronicles 20:15. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, Brandon, but God's. The battle, it's not yours. It's God's. Did you want to add anything to this, Ben?
Yeah. With all of this, it's so funny because I told Brandon, I picture this cabin, this cozy cabin, and sure enough, he was like, I do too. That's kind of, and I think with the Lord, sometimes it's for us to be able to understand who he is and his character, sometimes it helps to put a picture to what it looks like. And all I kept hearing was retreating into the Lord's presence is like being, sometimes it's like being in this warm, cozy cabin in the middle of a blizzard. So, you know, when we're in a blizzard, it's the wind is howling, it's distracting, you can't see anything, it's cold. Well, that sometimes in that place, we can hear voices really easily of fear and condemnation and shame. We can hear things like, you're not good enough. It's not going to work out. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not going to win the battle this time. Why try? It's your fault anyway. You made those choices. You've messed up too much. It's too late. Right? Or is it just me that hears all those things? And you're trying to, and sometimes for us, it's just maybe you've come in to church and it's like that blizzard in your soul where you're trying to figure something out and you feel like you just can't get around it. And you're trying to be like, well, if maybe I do this or that, or maybe, you know, just like what you were talking about. And it's like this blizzard in our soul. And sometimes we choose the blizzard because self-pity feels good, and it does. It's deceiving, though. It doesn't help us. Or sometimes we choose the blizzard to punish ourselves because we feel like we don't deserve to be in that cozy little cabin like other people do. Well, they don't know what I've done. I've messed up too much. And so we have this all these thoughts around us which are all about us. In this blizzard, and we have a choice to stay in the blizzard and be buried by the weight of the snow, right? Or we can choose to retreat into the Lord's presence and go to this cozy little cabin and choose to step into there and accept the invitation that he is always giving us, come away with me, come into my presence. Yeah. It's just like coming into this cozy little cabin. And when we step into that cabin and we shut the door behind us, everything changes. Mm-hmm. For one, you can't hear the howling wind anymore. Mm-hmm. It's quiet, it's warm, it's inviting, you can see clearly. And instantly that snow that's on you starts to melt, right? Mm. And you go to the couch chair that's in front of the fireplace where the fire is on, and you sit down in front of the fireplace, and you close your eyes, and you hear one thing, his voice.
Yeah.
And he's not telling you how you've missed it and how you've messed up. He's simply telling you who he is.
Yeah.
And we hear, I am your peace. I am provider. I am your protector. I am your wisdom. I am your rest. I am your restorer. I am your redeemer. I am your deliverer. I am your defender. I am your counselor. I am your hope. I am your healing. I am your healer. I am your life giver. I am love. I am joy. I am grace. I am creator of the Milky Way and the cosmos and the galaxies and the caterpillars, you know?
Yeah.
He tells us who he is. I'm stronger, I'm greater, I'm better than everything else.
Come on. That's good.
And in this place, the focus shifts from us to him. Mm. This is who he is. And this is what he gives us. When we are taking communion, that's part of that. This is what he gives us. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to create it. We don't have to work for it. We don't deserve it. It's his gift to us from him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he says, I was, I am, and I always will be passionately in love with every detail of who you are as you are. So come away with me. Come and retreat into my presence and receive that peace for your soul. And the blizzard's still going on. It's still happening, right? Mm. But the blizzard in here has stopped. It's no longer has that power over you.
Yeah, that's good.
And as we hear the truth of who he is, he reveals the truth of who we are. As we receive that rest for our souls, it no longer sways us and pushes us around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And John 16:33 says, and everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrow, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. And so I see that like him saying, in the world, the blizzard, you'll experience sorrow and trouble. In me, the cabin, you will experience peace and confidence as you rest in me. And so he says the world, you know, doesn't have this power over you. It can't conquer you. It will try, of course, but it will not succeed.
Yeah.
So he says, come to me. Come, rest and retreat in me and receive this peace for your soul. The peace and the truth that I've already won for you.
Yeah, right.
And that I'm happy to give to you. Come and take it.
Yeah, that's so good. For those of you that know me, isn't she perfect for me? Because I'm like a spaz, and she is just like, I want to retreat into this sweater with you. That was so good, babe. I feel great. That was so good. God is just as much of a place as he is a person. Psalm 32:7, Lord, you are my secret hiding place. Protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. It's not, I'm going to break through. Woo! No, his joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. And this secret place, it's not biased. It's a place of like genuine gladness, right? Unpredictable breakthrough, and this place has a name, right? That's why it says, Lord, you are my secret hiding place. And it's the kind of battle that we do on our knees in prayer. It's the kind of battle, it's a sword that's, you know, 1,189 chapters of paper. That's the sword. It's green pastures, not a battlefield. It's everything that's the antithesis of what we typically have come to experience in our Western culture. And so we say, okay, so I'm going to chill out, and I'm going to go to this place of prayer, and I'm going to go to this, you know, secret place, and I'm going to sit in the cozy chair in front of the fireplace, in my mind, in my heart. Okay, but then what? Like, how is that supposed to help me? Those are the questions I ask. Psalm 32, 8 through 9 says, I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult, Brandon. Don't be stubborn, Brandon, when I take you where you have not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. You see, we've got to retreat in order to advance.
Yes.
Try it the other way. Let me know how it goes. If I advance enough in my career, then I'll have the time and the money to retreat. No. We've got a lot of runners in the congregation. I ran once a couple weeks ago. I consider myself a runner. You can read any blog about running, any facts, any literature about running, and it'll tell you one of the best things that you can do to train to run is to sleep, is to rest. For real. I would go as far to say this. Your success will only be as successful as your rest. You can tweet that. Your success will only be as successful as your rest.
Yeah. Can I add to that? Yeah, please. I heard this once where rest for our souls is like a tree's roots resting in the soil. In order for the tree to stand and grow and thrive, the roots have to be resting. Without the roots resting, it's impossible for the tree to grow and thrive.
That's good. I feel like, especially in our culture today, we just have a bad taste in our mouth about the word retreat because we are so programmed. I mean, even when I say retreat, we say, okay, that's an action. That's something I need to do. I need to. And maybe it's because we're so used to asking God to do something for us instead of just asking God to be with us. You see the difference there? When we ask God, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And it says, the word says, we have not because we ask not. But this is the turn of the tide I'm thinking of this month. What if we just ask God, simply be with us, God? Simply just say what you want to say to me, God. Simply just do what you want to do in my life, God. Because Brandon was pricing out appliances and trying to get the Labor Day sales, right? And measuring everything out and then get the savings account set up. And it all fell through. Because when I was going to order the appliances, Whirlpool was like, oh, they're not in stock and we don't know when they will be again. I was so mad because I'm the one. I spent like a day and a half measuring and planning and I got my little, you know, cart all set up and got all my discounts and it all fell through. And maybe God is saying, what do you want me to do, Brandon? What if you just sat with me and let me make some decisions on your behalf? Retreat. Hebrews 4:11 says, so then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith, rest, life, so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. The New King James Version says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. I wrote this down. Don't throw stones at me. Lack of faith, doubt, and unbelief doesn't come from lack of Bible reading. It doesn't come from lack of prayer. It doesn't come from skipping that guest speaker at church. It comes from a lack of rest. Terry believes it, and she's been around for a long time. Your faith will fail without rest. Faith is trust.
Oh, Jesus.
Matthew 11:28. This is why Jesus says, come, 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's why he says it. It's why he says, come to me, because he knows your faith, it fails without rest, because we start putting our faith in what we can do and in what we can accomplish and in our education and in our experience. We put our faith in us instead of the faith that Jesus has, the faith that he has on our behalf, the faith in something whose ways, someone whose ways are higher than our ways, a childlike trust that says, all I know is that you're my Father, which means you're not going to let me fail. And that's why Jesus says, come to me. Not just come to church. Not just come to this class. Not just come to the cabin. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. That's the promise. That's what holds me accountable to what we are preaching this morning. Is that his promise is that if we apply this and we say, okay, this time around, God, I am going to retreat from the trial and the trouble and the chaos and the storm. I'm going to retreat, not just run away. I'm going to retreat into that secret place. I'm going to retreat. And this is a whole nother sermon. But the part of retreating that we do is where are we retreating to? But I'm going to retreat into that secret place. And if you find that secret place right up there at that cabin, that's where you meet with Jesus. Or in front of that fire, that's where you meet with Jesus. Or if it's in a little closet in your house and you shut the door and then you tell the kids you're going to spank them if they come in, and that's where you meet with Jesus. Wherever that place is that you retreat to, that place has a name. His name is Jesus. He's big enough to meet you in your car if that's the only quiet time you have. My wife, she goes out into the car, and nobody in the house knows where she is. And an hour later, I open the garage, and there she is sitting out in the driveway in the car just like, they found me. He's big enough to meet you in that secret place, in that secret space. He says, come to me. And what's he going to give you? The answer? Maybe. The healing? Maybe. The promise is, I will give you rest. He gives you that rest that takes away the stress. He gives you that rest that takes your focus off of the battle, which makes it so much easier to remind yourself that the battle belongs to the Lord. He gives you that rest that says, you know what? It's going to be okay. Because he's got a plan to prosper me and not to harm me. And as we focus on our wonderful Jesus and we look to him and we turn to his face and we are resting in his presence, all of a sudden we realize that everything else, I know I keep referencing the song, it's because I love it. The things of this earth have grown strangely dim. It's not something that we've perfected. It's because the fight is to stay and to rest and stay in rest. It's something that we feel like coming into elections, coming into the rest of this year. What do you guys think, 2021 is just magically going to fix everything? Come on, I've said it myself. Oh, I can't wait for 2021. What, everything's just going to change all of a sudden on January 1st, 2021? Give me a break. I'm not going to come up here and give you some prophecy about 2021 is going to be the year of fun. I'm not going to do that. Rest starts now. Rest starts now. Oh, and when the storms come, and when the elections come, and when tomorrow comes, and work comes, and who knows, maybe riots come knocking on your door. Maybe, I don't know what's going to happen. But everything that keeps changing out here does not affect the thing in here that is the same yesterday, today, through elections, through 2020, through 2021, and forever. Amen? I want to put my faith and my trust in that. And let him deal with all that. Yes. Amen, church? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Jesus, we are saying this morning that our hope is found in you, that our strength is found in you, and that our peace is found in you. And so we enter in this morning to the secret place of the Most High God. We enter in to a presence unlike any other presence, to a space that looks like nothing like any other space we've been in before. We draw into that place that beckons us to rest and receive and relax and relax. And this morning we lean back into this place. Into this place. Jesus, 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 oh Jesus. Mm. Jesus. I just hear the Lord saying, I have deposited the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I have deposited the Spirit on the inside of you. And when that Spirit was first brought to this earth, it appeared as tongues of fire. And for so many years, you have seen that fire as something that burns. And I am here to say that that fire is something that warms. You have walked in the storms. You have walked in the cold. It has been literally frigid, and you felt alone. And I am saying that that Holy Spirit that I've deposited on the inside of you will warm and comfort and counsel. And you will be led by the Spirit from a place of rest into a place of rest. I believe God is asking some of us to retreat away from the things that we thought were always true and part of our belief system. I believe he's saying, step away from those things right now and come to me and let me redefine this faith life that is required for today. And what do I mean by that? It means let's choose to be influenced by what Jesus is saying, not by just everything we've experienced in the past. Let's take the wealth and the richness of the word that's been deposited into us, and let's say, God, how do we take that forth today? Because it's a new day. It's a different season. It's a new world. God, what do you want us to do this morning, this week? Jesus. This month, church, is going to be an unraveling of this process of retreating. And I believe that as we do this, we are going to be invigorated with that life and that direction for you, for your family, for your business, for your children, right? For these decisions that you have to make. I believe that as we unravel what this means to truly rest, I'm telling you, it's like when you go and you get away for a few days or a couple weeks, you come back ready for what's next. And you come back hungry to go back to that place again. Amen. That's what we're going to do this month. We're going to come to this place of rest. Thank you, Jesus. We just love you guys so much. We love what God is doing in you and through you. We love what God is doing here at Northwest. May we always be a church that is marked by simply letting, getting out of the way and letting God get into the way. Amen? Let that be the trademark of our families and our callings, that we can say, God, we're going to move out of the way so that you can get into the way and do what you want to do. That's what's going to change things. Amen? That's what's going to change things. Hallelujah. This is one of those moments where I have no idea how to stop this. And so I'm just going to ask you to just take this moment and just take it with you, right? Just take it with you. People, I'm telling you, this week, people are going to be like, wow, you're so chill. Did you watch the debates? Be like, yeah, I watched the debates. And you're still chill? Yeah, sure, I'm chill. It's good, it's good. Right? People will see, like when you come back from vacation with that glowing tan, right? And people are like, wow, you look good. And you're like, yeah, I just got away. People are going to see it. They're going to see it on you this week. I believe it. Yes.
us, that it's evident, that it's evident on us, right?
Yeah, it's like when Heidi and I get away, she's so tan. I don't ever look tan. I am this white all the time. But people come back, they're like, wow, she's so tan. That's, people are going to see it on you this week. I believe it, church. I believe it. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We know that God meets us right where we are, no matter where that is. If you want to get plugged into our church community by joining one of our life groups, donate to our cause, or just learn more about the mission here at Northwest, please visit us at lwcc.org/Northwest. You can also text the word CONNECT to 612-688-3939. That's 612-688-3939. If this message encouraged you, it would probably encourage someone you know. So feel free to share it. We look forward to connecting with you and hope that you'll join us again next week.